The Micro Language Lab, Learning the 6809, is a presentation of Green Mountain Micro.
Welcome to the subject that strikes unreasoning terror in the heart of every programming novice, numbers and number systems. There are many opinions about computer number systems. Here's mine. If you don't learn them, you'll end up hacking your way through assembly language programming. You'll never feel comfortable or competent doing assembly language programming. That said, I'll start by telling you that I'm no mathematician. Numbers make me cringe. Yet, binary and hexadecimal computer representations are really easy. Partly, that's because I found that when ordinary sheep failed me, counting backwards, hexadecimal sheep jumping a fence put me to sleep before I reached zero. And it's really not making that up. That's actually how I got to sleep while I was learning assembly language. Now, because it's easy, that doesn't put me to sleep either, but anyway, computer number systems have been made frightening by obscure use of languages and by knot-headed programmers. In truth, we live and live very well in a world of non-decimal number systems. Here's a short list. 12 inches to a foot, 3 feet to a yard, 5,280 feet to a mile. 32 degrees is freezing, 212 degrees is boiling. There are 60 minutes in an hour, 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week, 52 weeks in a year. How about this one for keeping number systems in mind? There are 365 days in a year and 360 degrees in a circle. Or 3 teaspoons to a tablespoon, or 4 quarts to a gallon. And then the one that, as we grow older, we all learn fairly well, 30 days hath September, April, June, and so forth. So we live very well with those. There are dozens, acres, ounces, and hundreds of other examples I could give you. All are the daily measurements of our bread and butter and of our life and time. And likewise, all are irregular ways of numbering, and still few confuse us. Chances are you can identify in your head every one of these groups just by giving you the numbers. 727, 737, and 747. 33, 45, and 78. 98.6, 3.1416. What I guess came to mind, I hope came to mind, were airplanes, records, body temperature, and pi. My point is that this is a conceptual issue. These are not numbers. They're actually representations of something useful in real life. You don't think, oh, 747 as 747. You think, that's a plane. Computer numbers are conceptual, too. The metric system is the official U.S. system, but how much use does it get? And I think maybe that, too, is a conceptual issue. I know how long a centimeter is now, but I can't convert from feet to meters. Same with a liter. Now that soft drinks come in liter bottles, I finally know what one is. I could never make a mathematical conversion of it, though. I can tell an acre, even though I'd be hard-pressed to tell you its actual measurement. In other words, once a number is represented by something in real life, so to speak, I can make real sense of it. Basically, that's what computer number systems are all about. They represent activities that are clumsy or make little sense when described by regular decimal numbers. So keep that in mind. By now, you're probably familiar with that old standard description of computer number systems, the light switch analogy. Computers, it's been said, operate using electronic switches that are either on or off, just like light switches. That's two conditions, the binary system, it's called, on or off. Such a description is true as far as it goes, but it leaves out a lot. To cast a different light on the binary system, I've enlisted the help of two old friends, Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson, who will discover some clues in this slightly rewritten scene.
But it's just someone turning the lamps on, Holmes. It's past dusk, after all.
Ah, yes, Watson. But why would someone light a lamp and extinguish it so quickly and move from room to room? Eh, Watson?
Or perhaps they're looking for something they can't find.
Or perhaps they're signalling someone. A cipher of some kind, I would say.
With lamps and 5 windows? Nonsense, Holmes.
Just copy this down, Watson. I'll start reading from the uppermost window. Lamp on, lamp off, lamp on. Lamp on.
Slow down, Holmes.
Keep at it, Watson. They won't stop for your fingers. Lamp off. They're changing now. Again, from the uppermost. Off, on, off, off, on. I've got it, Watson. These are letters of the alphabet. 5 windows create 32 combinations, enough for all the letters of the alphabet.
Amazing, Holmes!
You don't need to write down the lamps now, Watson. I think I can read the message. S-E-E-M-E-A-T. See me at the August Lion Tavern at 6 o'clock. That's it. We have just 5 minutes. Come on, Watson!
What Holmes discovered, of course, was that by using the most basic information, a simple pattern of lamps lit or extinguished, a complete message might be sent or received. Samuel Morse formalized this with his telegraph code. In this case, Holmes perceived quickly and correctly that with 5 lamps, 32 combinations were possible by rearranging the pattern of lamps lit and darkened. You will find that computers are really quite simple-minded devices. You're dealing with nothing more than a vast but microscopic nest of electronic switches. There's no intelligence involved, just an impulse here and impulse there, all moving very fast. For reasons that have more to do with manufacturing economy than anything else, the decision to use the on-off switch was chosen over something more familiar like a decimal-type counter. Programming might have been much easier otherwise, but cheap as it was to manufacture, the on-off idea limited each meaningful computer signal to those 2 conditions alone. For more conditions, larger numbers that is, more on-off signals are needed. Groups of signals, all working simultaneously like Holmes's 5 lamps. Everything in computers, as a consequence, began to take on the color of 2 choices, the on-off, the base 2, the binary system. Data was parceled out in base 2 and grouped in powers of 2. The first microprocessor device used 4 simultaneous signals for transmission of data. The 6809 uses 8 signal lines. Newer, more sophisticated computers use 16 or more concurrent on-off signals. You can probably guess I'm taking you easy into this, but stay with me. If you think back to Holmes's discovery, you'll remember that the operant concept was not the number, but rather the pattern of lamps. The patterns represented codes for letters. An inspired idea from the time Morse developed his telegraph code to the present-day American Standard Code for Information Interchange. You call that ASCII. In computers, these are patterns of binary signals, thought of as binary numbers or binary digits. Binary digit is conveniently abbreviated bit. So when the 6809 is called an 8-bit processor, that means that all its information is created from combinations of 8 simultaneous binary digits. Here's the grabber. No matter what the information represents, whether it represents letters, numbers, commands, something to display, sound, whatever, it is formed by some pattern of those 8 binary digits, formed from 8 bits. The microprocessor, the computer's heart, can divine the difference only by the context in which those digits are presented. Now, if context seems far-fetched, consider that there are only 26 letters in our alphabet, 10 numerical symbols, and a dozen or so punctuation marks. Those letters, in specific combinations and contexts, again context, make up the 500,000 or so words in the English language. Those same letters, combined into words and melded through punctuation into sentences and paragraphs, can describe the entire known history of humanity with multiple levels of nuance, politics, or poetry. That's quite a bit from a simple 26-letter code. At last, it's time to get down to specifics and deal with those numerical symbols. The trick is for you to gain an appreciation of the computer number system that's used exclusively for clarity. That number system is called hexadecimal, base 16, but don't run for the Malox. Keep in mind that we're not talking about counting-type numbers here, but simply representations, simply symbolic abstractions. First, there's a program to get up and running.
Find program number 4 in your book and follow the instructions. This is a basic program. Turn this tape off until you are ready to load the program. Turn the tape off now. you should have loaded a basic program. List this program and compare it with program number 4. If it appears correct, please continue with this tape. Otherwise, rewind to the program listing and try again.
I've been talking about symbols, relationships, and legibility. I'm also talking about memorizing patterns for instant recognition. You're about to run a program which will show you all 256 rearrangements of 8 binary digits, represented as strings of ones and zeros. Remember, Holmes had 5 lamps, which represented 32 rearrangements. We've got 8 bits here. That's 256 possible combinations. Run this program now. Enter a number from 0 to 255 and check out the binary equivalent printed below. Enter another number and look. Enter 3 more numbers and examine the binary equivalents. Chances are, what you see is not very useful. Hit Enter. The decimal values from 0 to 255 will be displayed in order, together with their binary equivalents. The decimal numbers count up nicely from 0 to 255, and the binary numbers also follow a regular pattern. That binary counting up pattern probably isn't familiar to you yet, but there are lots of ways of understanding it. For example, as you watch, notice that the right-hand digit alternates quickly between 1 and 0. Its neighbor's alternation takes twice as long, and its neighbor's alternation in turn takes twice as long as that. There's that binary base 2 system working again. The binary counting is useful to watch. Try to get familiar with it. When the decimal counting is finished, the program will show you a much easier system. Mentally break that 8-bit binary group into 2 halves. Remembering Sherlock Holmes' discovery, you can see that the 4 binary digits in each group can be rearranged 16 different ways. Instead of trying to recall lines of ones and zeros, though, each rearrangement can be identified with a single, unique character. The arrangement 0000 in binary can be identified simply as 0. 0001 can be identified as 1. 0010 becomes 2. 0011 becomes 3. 0100 becomes 4. And that goes on up to 1001, which is called 9. As it progresses, 1010, the number after 9, is labeled A. 1011 is labeled B. 1100 is labeled C. 1101 is D. 1110 is E, and 1111 is F. As you watch the screen, you will notice that a separate symbol, a hexadecimal symbol, is used for each half of the 8-bit group. That gives you an easy-to-handle, easy-to-read, and easy-to-remember 2-digit reference for each long binary number from 00000000 to 1111111. The advantage of this method is very real. By knowing a binary number, you can almost instantaneously know the hexadecimal equivalent. By knowing the hexadecimal representation, you can get at the binary equivalent with ease. Remember, these microprocessors work in a binary world. Knowing that world is essential for you, as the programmer, to call the shots. How can you learn the hexadecimal numbers? Well, there's only one answer. Memorize them. Just like the times tables in elementary school, memorize them. Count sheep forwards and backwards. That's how I did it. Go back to this program and run 170. Read the numbers aloud. By the way, hexadecimal numbers, you'll just call them hex after a while, by the way, are read a little different from decimal numbers. If there's a leading zero, for example, you hang on to it, like this. 00. 01, that's not just 1, that's 01. 02, 03, 04, 05, 06, 07, 08, 09, 0A, 0B, 0C, 0D, 0E, 0F, 10. That's not 10, it's 10. 11, not 11. 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 1A, 1B, 1C, 1D, 1E, 1F, 20. Again, not 20, 20. And they go on from there. Remember that when you get up to 9A, 9B, 9C, 9D, 9E, and 9F, the next hex number is A0. It goes up all the way to FF. Another convention for hexadecimal numbers is their written form. The letters are always uppercase, and in order to distinguish hex from decimal numbers, it's common practice to put a dollar sign in front of a hexadecimal number. Dollar sign 10 clearly identifies hexadecimal 10. You should also try to learn your hex numbers backwards. Assembly language has certain kinds of program activities that move backwards, and being able to make an accurate backward count, FF, FE, FD, FC, FB, FA, F9, etc., will ease this process. As far as converting from decimal to hex and vice versa, you'll do it occasionally. It's best just to use a chart, a special calculator like one Texas Instruments makes, or a formula. When you learn to use the editor, assembler, debugger programs later in this course, much of this conversion is done by the assembler itself. For the moment, learn to recognize the 4-bit binary patterns and their hex equivalents. In fact, you might take a break from this tape right now to practice binary and hexadecimal patterns. Since this is a lesson about numbers and codes, I'd like to introduce another essential preliminary to diving into assembly language programming, the ASCII codes. ASCII, A-S-C-I-I, the American Standard Code for Information Interchange, is a set of 128 numerical codes that represent letters, numbers, symbols, punctuation, and special control functions. I'll talk hex now. Punctuation marks start at hexadecimal 20, numbers at 30. Hexadecimal 40 points to uppercase letters, 60 starts lowercase. It's simple only in hex. Ever try to convert from uppercase to lowercase in BASIC? It can be tricky, but in binary it's a cinch. Grab a paper and pencil. Write down hexadecimal 41, and across from it, write its binary equivalent, 0100001. Hexadecimal 41 and its binary equivalent 0100001. This is the uppercase letter A. On the next line, write down hex 61 and across from it the binary 0110001. Write down hex 61 and across from it the binary 01100001. This is lowercase a. Now write hex 5A and its binary 01011010. This is uppercase Z. Hex 5A and its binary 01011010. Finally, lowercase z is hex 7a. Write that down, 7a. And across from it, binary 01111010. Again, that's 7a, binary 01111010. Sit back and look at these numbers. The hex numbers seem related enough, 4161 and 5A7A, but the real clue lies in the binary. In referring to binary numbers, the rightmost digit is called bit 0 and the leftmost bit 7. So find bit 5 in both upper and lowercase a. That's the third digit from the left. Notice that bit 5 is the only digit that's different in upper and lower case. Same with letter Z. Bit 5 clearly distinguishes uppercase from lowercase. In decimal, uppercase and lowercase Z are 90 and 122, respectively. There's no visible relationship there. In hex, it becomes a little clearer as we look at 5A and 7A. But bit 5 in binary, just one digit, makes all the difference. ASCII looks illogical in decimal, but in binary, it's crystal clear. I'll talk more about ASCII codes, especially those from 00 to 1F hex, the control codes that ring bells, backspace, line and form feed, carriage return, and perform special activities like clearing the screen. In the meantime, there's work for you to do. Now, this is an honest assignment coming up. So for your assignment, learn to count in hexadecimal. Explore all the ASCII codes in binary, and learn to read the ASCII bit table in the back of this book. Review this lesson until you are familiar and comfortable with binary and hexadecimal. Please continue with these lessons only when you have thoroughly reviewed the number systems. So once again, for your assignment, learn to count in hexadecimal, explore the ASCII codes in binary, and learn to read the ASCII bit table in the back of this book.